Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Well, welcome to our communion service. Good to be with you this morning. Welcome back. A couple of you have made it back for the first time since the pandemic. Welcome back. I hope you're well. Good to see you all. Welcome to those on the internet as well. So just a few pieces of news for you. The first one is probably one of the most important ones, in that next week is our annual meeting. And so we'll be meeting at 10 a.m. for a joint all-together service at St. Nicholas's. And then the annual meeting will be at 11 a.m. following immediately afterwards. And it will also be streamed on the website, YouTube and Facebook. So plenty of ways to get involved with that if you'd like to. But that does mean we'll be at St. Nicholas's next week at 10 a.m., not here at 11 a.m. You're all going to forget that, aren't you? Yeah, okay. and the rest of the news really is in your sheet. There's quite a few changes, so do make sure you take that home with you and read that. Some of the changes are due to the fact that I don't want to call it a lockdown because we're hardly locked down compared to what we were, but the lockdown was stretched out a bit further, wasn't it? And of course, today is a communion service, and so I will serve you all the bread and receive the wine on behalf of all of us. When it comes to that moment when you are to come up to receive the bread, one of our side people will direct you, so you could stay seated until you're invited up, and then come up safely distanced from the previous person, and as you go back around again, do watch that you don't trip on the carpet, which is currently covering the cable for the internet. Church has got quite complicated, hasn't it? I mean, that's what I will say. Other than that, just to let you know that the magazine for July is out and available at the back if you don't already get it delivered to you. And also, if you missed the June magazine, it's up on the website as well now. So grab that on the way out if you don't get it delivered. And before we continue our service, I have the joy of reading some Banns of Marriage, which we've not been able to do for quite a while, but people are now starting to get married again, so that's great news. Let me read these Banns of Marriage to you. I publish the Banns of Marriage between James Craig McLean of this parish and Kaylee Marie Bennett of this parish, between Darren Michael Newman of St. Mary the Virgin Rauner and Hannah Louise Crawford, also of St. Mary the Virgin Rauner, and between Zach Saliba of this parish and Matilda Bald of this parish. This is, if any of you know any just or reason or impediment why these three couples should not be joined in holy matrimony, you should declare it now. This is for the second time of asking. I'm never quite sure how long to wait for that sort of thing, but long enough to get my thoughts together so that we can pray for them is probably the answer. Let's pray for these three couples as they prepare for marriage. Father, we thank you that these couples want to come and have their marriage recognized in your church. We pray for their preparations, of course, Lord, that they will not be delayed any further than they already have, that they will run smoothly. But we pray most of all that you will walk with them during this time and in the years ahead, that they will know of that three-corded rope with you as the third strand, and that you will inspire them and encourage them. Amen. All right. It's great to read those out. But of course, we're here primarily to receive communion with our Lord and to worship him. So let's take a moment to be quiet before we begin. And we say together our prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us pause for a moment and reflect on our lives as we come before a God who is keen to forgive us.
Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we come to the Gloria, where we're allowed to say our worship. If you'd like to, join me in standing if you're able to, that'd be great. And let us worship our God together in the words of the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please do be seated or kneel as we come to that moment where we pray the collect, the special prayer of the week. And as ever, we take a moment to be quiet and say our own prayer of thanks before I pray the collect. O God, the protector of all, who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy. Increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite Peter up now to bring us our first reading for this Sunday.
The reading is taken from the book of Samuel, chapter 8, verse 4 until the end of the chapter. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know that the king will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But when the people refused to listen to Samuel, "No," they said, "we want a king over us, and we shall be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. And the Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Everyone is to go back to his own town." Here ends the lesson.
Thank you, Peter. I always look forward to when Peter's on the reading list, don't you? We get dramatic readings, don't we? So that's great. Thank you very much. It occurred to me just before Emily reads the gospel, we were chatting earlier on. Firstly, some of you may not still know who Emily is. Emily Ashworth has been on placement here for a while now, but you may not have met her. And she is hoping to go forward for training in as a priest. And has her interview coming up in the next few weeks, don't you? So I'll be praying for Emily. But it also occurred to me that I don't know when you last had a deacon in the church here at St. Thomas's. Emily has been playing the role of a deacon for us while she's been here. And during a communion service, a deacon really comes into their own. I mean, firstly, she gets to read the gospel, which is a very important part. And in churches with a higher tradition than we have here, she would go to the center of the church to read it. But I don't make her do that, do I? So, And also, later on, she'll read the creed and partake with me as well behind the table in preparing the communion service. So I just wanted to, if you wondered why Emily was doing so much today, you know, why is Max really earning his money? You know, that's because actually it's good training for Emily, but also it's part of our Anglican tradition. So I'll shut up now and leave you with the trainee deacon. So.
Thank you, Max, for that introduction.
Gospel. You read the gospel.
The reading is taken from Matthew 14, verses 1 to 12. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus and said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now Herod had John arrested and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guests and so pleased Herod that he promised her an oath to give her whatever she asked. Promptly, by her mother, she said, "Give me on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed. Because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted, and he had John beheaded in the prison. His head was then brought on a platter and given to the girl who carried it to her. John's disciples came and took the body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. That makes an ominous sound, doesn't it? May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Excuse me. I'm going to invite you to think back to your last birthday. What did you wish for when you blew out the candles on your cake? Was it for health? Happiness, perhaps? An end to this pandemic? I think I can safely bet that none of you wished for another human being to lose their head. In this gospel reading this morning, we heard about a birthday party in honour of King Herod Antipas that goes completely off the rails. Herod is celebrating his birthday with his new wife Herodias. Then Herodias' daughter is asked to perform a dance for Herod and his guest. Her famous dance is known as the Dance of the Seven Veils. It's a seductive sequence of clothal removing, a precursor to the striptease from which the alluring belly dance stems. I will let your imagination picture Herod drooling over the young girl as she performs her seductive dance. But at the end, captivated by her beauty, Herod says, "Ask me for anything you want and I will give it to you." The girl rushes back to her mother, who seems to have been a rather manipulative sort of type. Herodias sees her chance to rid herself of the prophet John, who had been a thorn in her side for a long time. "Ask him for the head of John the Baptizer," she says. Herod couldn't go back on his royal word in front of his guests, so he reluctantly ordered John to be beheaded. Herod had weakened. He knew that murdering John the Baptizer was going to upset an awful lot of people, but he had made a foolish promise. There was no room in Herod's mind for compromise. He was a proud man, a proud king, who was in a long line of kings expected to behave in certain ways. I wonder if we're all clear on which King Herod this is. It took me a while to figure it out. He was Herod Antipas, who was not the same Herod who ordered all the babies to be killed at the time of Jesus' birth. That was Herod the Great, who is the father of Herod Antipas. Up with me? The next thing to be aware of is that Herod Antipas isn't really a king at all. In our Bible reading this morning, we heard him being referred to as Herod the Tetrarch. A tetrarch rules over one quarter of a kingdom. Herod rules over a certain area of Palestine. In fact, he was more like a jumped-up prince than he was a king, and he was certainly a puppet of the Roman authorities. But in his mind, he was king. In his world, his word was law. So we wonder what John the Baptizer is so cross about. Why did Herodias want him to lose his head? Herodias was Herod Antipas's sister-in-law, married to his brother Philip. But she was also Herod's niece, as she was the daughter of another brother, whose name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce. So it turns out Herod has no qualms about marrying a woman who is not only a divorcee, but also his sister-in-law and his niece. Talk about incest. It's no wonder that John the Baptizer, being a highly moral man of God, had his objections. He condemned Herod and Herodias. Some may say it wasn't the most prudent thing to do. The thing about kings is they don't very much like being criticized by their subjects. But sometimes, if you don't speak up, you effectively condone a behavior. John saw himself in a prophetic role. He declared the marriage condemned by God. It was unlawful for you to take your brother's wife. But Herod didn't like that someone was telling him what to do, no matter who it was. He didn't think it was a very good idea to kill John the Baptizer because many people viewed him as a man of God. So Herod threw him in prison because he could, because he was the king. And then Herod, by his pride and his lust, became the reason for John's untimely end. In recent weeks, we have been journeying together through the book of Matthew. Last week, we heard Jesus teaching a lot of parables about the kingdom of heaven. In the coming weeks, we will hear about several miracles that Jesus will do. But sandwiched right in the middle is this story about the death of John the Baptizer, which is ultimately a story about power and the misuse of power. Matthew, the author, wants us to understand that a great conflict of ideas is taking place. It's a conflict between two fundamentally different understandings of kingdoms. As I said a few moments ago, Herod didn't actually hold the title of king. But I think Matthew refers to him as king in order to emphasize his view of the conflict between kingdoms inherent in this story. Herod lived in a fine palace, held lavish parties, and kept on partying while his people suffered and squirmed under the might is right domination of Rome. John the Baptizer cried out against Herod, against his lifestyle, his love of wealth and profit, and his immoral intermarriage to his brother's wife. John stood up for what was right, and for his trouble, got himself locked up in Herod's dungeon, then had his head removed and served on a platter. In complete contrast to Herod comes the figure of Jesus. His lavish parties take place around simple tables with simple food and ordinary people. Where Herod deploys violence and death to manage his kingdom, Jesus offers love and healing. While Herod gathers as much wealth as he can to himself, Jesus advocates the giving up of wealth and of living simply and light. Is it any wonder that John the Baptizer, having recognized who Jesus was, felt he had no choice but to speak out against the immoral, greedy, violent kingdom of Herod? There are two fundamental types of kingdom in play in Matthew's narrative. On the one hand, the kingdom of men, violent, greedy, manipulative. on the other hand, the kingdom of heaven, not ruled by a man of violence or power, but by the servant king. Who is this king? He is the Word, who through all things were made, yet was born in a stable. He is the creator of the universe, who relied on an earthly mother for milk. He is the King of Kings, who entered the holy city riding on a donkey. He is the King who washes his subjects' feet. He is the Lord of life, who dies on a torturer's cross. He is the dead that rises. This story was written over 2,000 years ago, and yet it still speaks to us today. There are still two kingdoms competing with each other in our world, just as they were at the time of Jesus, John the Baptizer, and Herod. We don't have tetrarchs anymore, but we do have monopolies and corporations instead. Many of our world leaders are corrupt, like Herod. They are feathering their own nests while two-thirds of the world starves and fights wars with guns made by billionaire corporations. The same kind of sex and seduction which led Herod astray is plastered on our TV screens and magazines every day. Herod dealt with his problems through violence. That was the Roman way. If someone opposes you, you oppose them with greater force and greater violence. But Jesus offers us a different way, a way of love, of sacrifice, of peace. Jesus calls us, as Winston Churchill famously said, to jaw-jaw, not war-war. But do we learn? No. The battle for the hearts and minds of people between the kingdom of men and the kingdom of God continues throughout history, and it's a very old battle indeed. Our Old Testament reading this morning, read so brilliantly by Peter, we heard the people asking Samuel for a king to rule over them and fight their battles for them. The people had rejected God as their king. They wanted to be like all the other nations around them who had already given in to the power of the kingdom of men. The people of today are still doing the same thing. We live in the kingdom of men. It is a kingdom where greed reigns supreme. Consumerism, seduction, and violence are considered normal ways of behaving by the majority of the planet. We have even been taught that greed is good by the captains of capitalism. We no longer measure achievement by how happy we are, but by how wealthy we are. We admire the strong and laugh at the weak. In other words, we human beings have chosen a kingdom in which God has been rejected. Here in the Western world, we are perhaps more guilty than any of giving in to the forces of the kingdom of men. We don't often even recognize anymore just how wealthy we are in comparison to our brothers and sisters in the rest of the world. I wonder if any of you remember the internet meme that was circulating a few years ago. It said, "If you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in your bank, in your wallet, and some spare change in your pocket, you are among the top 8% of the world wealthy. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the agony of imprisonment or torture, the horrible pangs of starvation, you are luckier than 5 million people alive and suffering. If you can read this message, you are more fortunate than 3 billion people in the world who cannot read it at all. We have become blind to the reality of the kingdom of men that surrounds us and enfolds us. But John the Baptizer was pointing us to a new and different king to worship, a king who rules over a kingdom that stands for peace, generosity, and in which the leaders of that kingdom are servants to all. A kingship that is entirely different to anything we have ever seen or envisioned. A kingdom that contradicts and challenges the world that we live in today. John the Baptizer stood up against Herod and lost his life in the process. Jesus did not promise that following him would be easy. He says, "Take up my cross and follow me." To be a citizen of God will require sacrifices, some perhaps like those of John, but the reward will be worth it. So let me ask you, will you follow the false kings like Herod, who only care for money and power? Or will you follow the servant king, who shows us the power and the potential of the kingdom of heaven? Amen.
Just before Emily reads the creed to us, I'm not sure that deacons should preach so well, especially trainee deacons. Anyway, I was just reflecting as Emily was preaching then that actually that's twice in a row we've heard a similar message. Who are we going to put first, isn't it? Who are we, you know, different readings, but who are we going to put first? And so I'm just going to ask Carol if she would play just for a little while for us as we reflect and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and reflect on that. And then Emily will continue with the creed and lead us in that.
Will you stand with me as we declare our faith in God using the words of the creed?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Do have a seat as we bring our prayers before our God.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us to the beginning of this new day, for the summertime, for warmth and light, for friendship and the joy of living. Father, we come to you in faith, and we place ourselves and your world into your hands, praying that your will be done. Lord, may your church be a place of peace for the anxious and a stronghold for all who are troubled. We ask your blessing on those involved in pastoral work and in caring for others, and we pray for the church's ministry to the outcasts and marginalized in our societies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all who strive to maintain good government and care of nations, especially in this time of COVID. We ask for your blessing on leaders, rulers, and politicians. And within our own government, we particularly pray for your guidance and peace at the moment. We pray for all who are exploited by others, those who live in fear of violence, and those denied freedom of speech and movement. We bring to you the people of Syria and Iraq, and all refugees fleeing their homes and countries. We remember too our armed forces serving far from home and often in dangerous waters. We pray that you will be with them and their families and their loved ones who wait anxiously at home. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the children and young people growing up in our community. Give us the insight to help in any way we can to gently bring to them the knowledge of your love. Bless too their parents and carers, often striving in difficult circumstances, and their teachers at schools, colleges, and nurseries. Lord, we place into your arms all who are hurting today and in need of your healing, whether in body, mind, or spirit, and those mentioned on our weekly sheet. We also pray for the families and friends of those who have recently died. May we never lose sight of things eternal in all that happens in our lives. And in a moment of quiet, we remember those known only to us. And finally, Lord, we pray that our relationships and actions may be beacons of your light, and may all come to know that we are your disciples in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sandra. And as Sandra returns to her pew, and thank you for praying for the children as well, Sandra. Let me also ask you to pray for the search for a new head for Bibury Junior as well. We'll be interviewing for that post. One of the governors there will be interviewing for that post later in the year. But the advert is out now. So be praying that the right person comes to Bibury Junior. Let's stand, if we're able to, just as we, in some fashion, share the peace. We are the body of Christ. In one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and build up the common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you. Let us offer each other a nod or wave of peace.
The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts.
Unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son. Born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross, and he put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of your Lord Jesus Christ. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you eat it. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption as we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. And so, as our Saviour taught us, we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. So friends, draw near with faith, receive in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean. Our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. See the body of Christ broken for all God's people on behalf of all God's people. Amen. Receive the blood of Christ shed for all God's people on behalf of all God's people. Amen. Eternal God, comfort of the afflicted and healer of the broken, you have fed us at the table of life and hope. Teach us the ways of gentleness and peace, that all the world may acknowledge the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's say our prayer of thanks together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So I shall look forward to seeing you next week at what time? 10 a.m. Where? St. Nicholas's. But as we go, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.